all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Our readings today paint us a glorious picture of what the Lord will accomplish when He comes. The wrongs He will set right. The blessings He will bestow. The prophets Isaiah and Baruch were speaking to the people of Israel in a difficult time of suffering and exile, when their cities had been destroyed, their people separated from one another, and everything was looking quite hopeless. And through the prophets, the Lord promised mourning and misery would change into splendor and glory. Joy and peace, mercy and justice would be restored when the Lord would lay out the way back home. And this matches the vision of St. John the Evangelist spoken to the suffering church in the book of Revelation, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, with a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, beautiful like a bride adorned for her husband. It, that is, we, the church, is described in terms of radiance, using imagery of gold and precious stones. And God Himself will always be with them. He will wipe every tear from our eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order will have passed away. Isn't that a beautiful prospect? It is just right for touching our hearts to awaken hope and longing and a sort of joy for what the Lord promises to bring about when He comes again. And we encounter in the Gospel reading St. John the Baptist, our first great guide of Advent, whose life and person are all about the coming of the Lord. He is the voice crying out in the desert. And what does He cry out about this joyful prospect? Does He cry out, "Celebrate good times, come on"? No? No. Of course He was looking forward to the Lord's coming. But the people were not prepared. And so His job was to prepare the way of the Lord so that there would be something to celebrate when He came. And so St. John the Baptist preached repentance, a true change of mind and heart and action. And he carried out a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A few weeks ago, one of those in RCIA asked me, why was John the Baptist baptizing? After all, baptism seems so identifiably Christian. And clearly there was no Christian church yet when John was baptizing. It is a good question. And the answer is that within Judaism, within the people of Israel, there were practices of washing and even full immersion of the body for purposes of purification. But even more to the point, by the first century AD within Judaism, when someone from a Gentile, that is a non-Jewish background, wanted to become Jewish, not only was such a person circumcised, but he was also baptized, that is, immersed completely, as a sign of his turning away from past sin and error in embracing the truth and the holy way of life of Judaism. This is what converts to Judaism would do. But John wasn't baptizing converts. He was baptizing lifelong Jews. Lifelong Jews who had come to recognize that they needed to make the same radical changes, the same radical reorientation of their life and identity as a convert to their people and religion would need to make. Think about our equivalent of that. Last week, we saw three people in this year's RCIA group taking the first ritual step in becoming Catholic or in completing their Christian initiation. Those who were here at the 12 o'clock Mass last week will surely remember that ritual in the back. For those three, and for the seven who were in RCIA last year, the whole year is a process that is life-changing. While it may vary from person to person, what will it do for them? They may discover that some of their past beliefs were false, or at least fell short of the truth, and that these need to change. They may discover that some of their past actions were wrong, or at least fell short of goodness, and that these need to change. Those in RCIA will be learning new spiritual practices and changing their habits every day, every week, season by season. They'll be associating with a whole new community. They may face strains in their relationships with family and friends. All of this and more is what it takes to be a convert then, in John the Baptist's time, and now. And this same depth of self-examination and change is what John the Baptist called the lifelong Jews of his time to embrace. And by extension, what he calls the lifelong Catholics of our time right now to embrace during this holy season of Advent. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. When my family moved to Spain when I was 15 years old, there were just two ways to get from our town to another town further down the coast, by road or by train. The road was narrow, and it wound tightly around the coastal hills. It took a long time to travel that road, and at least with six of us crammed into our car, it was actually a really awful experience. After riding that way in the car once, I never wanted to do it again. The train was much better. But what was even better still was once they built the freeway. It was amazing how fast and smooth and easy it then became to drive from the one town to another straight down that freeway. And something like this is just what the scriptures are talking about. What is it that we heard? The winding roads shall be made straight, the rough ways made smooth. For God has commanded that every lofty mountain be made low, and that the age-old depths and gorges be filled to level ground, that Israel may advance secure in the glory of God. How are the roads that connect the Lord to you and you to the Lord? How are the paths that connect you to others in self-giving, generous love? Are they smooth and wide and straight and fast like a freeway? Or are they choked and winding and blocked by obstacles and broken up by potholes and ravines? What will it take to prepare the way of the Lord in your own life? What needs to be cleared out of the way? What new practices need to be cut through and constructed in order to make this relationship open and flowing for you? This is the call of John the Baptist to us in this Advent season. This change, this conversion of mind and heart and life is not easy. It never has been. But it is worth it. So many saints have trod this road before us. Consider the joy that lies ahead. Once you have made those roads straight and fast in your own life, and consider the encouraging words that we heard from St. Paul, who said, "I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, that your love may increase ever more and more to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness, for the glory and praise of God."